Hello, this is Bill Robertson. I'm with the University of Arkansas System, Division of Ag. I'm the Extension Cotton Agronomist for Arkansas. And we're going to visit today about soil health in the Mid-South. And the first step is feeding the soil microbes. And I want to start off by introducing myself again. I'm Bill, and I'm a tillaholic. I've done my fair share of recreational tillage through the years, growing up on a farm outside of Lubbock, Texas. And I know a lot of us that farm are in that situation, but using cover crops and reducing tillage, I think, is the direction we need to go to remain sustainable in production agriculture. Soil health. I know for a lot of people, especially my tillaholic friends that are out there, just think soil health is just another buzzword. It really doesn't have a lot of meaning, and it's not going to impact my bottom line. But I want to visit with y'all about soil health. I've grown into this myself and see that it's real. So if you're pulling tillage implements like this, the ripper or the paratill, and you find that you really don't like doing that in the fall because over the rains that we get in the winter and the spring, by the time it comes planting time again, your soils run back together, well then, this slide set might be for you. If you look at this image, you see water running down the row. No matter how long you run that water, the water does not soak up to the top of the row. Well then, this slide set might be for you because we have a problem with poor soil structure. That's what causes a lot of these issues. So when we look at soil and different things, there's a poor compacted soil causes a lot of problems. And I saw this slide, the circle of death, on the internet, and there's the source where I found that. And kind of the root of, no pun intended, the root of the problem is a poor compacted soil. It leads to a lot of problems. And so I know when I was growing up, we had poor compacted soil. What do? We till it. When we look at soil, what is soil supposed to be by volume? When you look at soil by volume, about half of it should be the mineral component, which is sand, silt, and clay, and then our living part, which is the organic matter. The other half of the volume of soil should be water and air. And a lot of times when we have poor soil structure, there's just not much room for water and air, and that's what causes a problem. So how do we fix that? If we look at the next slides, these are just examples that kind of illustrate some of the things that are going on with poor soil structure. On the top left, we have a field. Both of these images were taken at the same time after about a 3.5-inch rain. The image on the top left is no-till with a cover crop. And down on the bottom, even though we had a cover crop, it was a stale seed bed where we picked the cotton, shredded the stalks, and hipped the rows, and did a little bit of other tillage, and then seeded a cover crop. And even just that little bit of tillage made a big difference in the lack of water infiltration and increasing the runoff. When we look at this field with a cover crop, what are we wanting to do with a cover crop? The main thing we want to do with a cover crop is have living roots in the soil as many months out of the year as we can. And the reason we want to do that is to feed our soil microbes. Our soil microbes need food to eat. When we have a bare soil, there's not anything for them to eat. Having a good, healthy population of soil microbes give off compounds that act like glue. They help glue our soil particles together that lead to soil structure. I've had the opportunity over the last few years to meet some people that are highly involved in cover crops and kind of what goes on below the soil surface. I know in the past, as an agronomist, a lot of times we focus in on what happens at soil surface and above. The last few years after coming back to the University of Arkansas from the National Cotton Council, I began to focus more on what goes on below the soil surface and had opportunity to meet Jill Clapperton. I think she's one of the leading earthworm experts out there. Kind of one of my take-homes from her is that earthworms are like whales in the ocean. If you look at things that are in the ocean, we've got everything from a single-cell organisms all the way to very complex. And if you start with the small things, if the small critters are doing well, then the ones the next bigger size will do well, and the next bigger size will do well, and so forth, and you get all the way, you know, up to the whales. Well, the same in the soil. We have bacteria, we have fungi, we have protozoa, but mostly I think of bacteria and fungi in the soil. And if we're feeding those, we have a good healthy population of those, then we have a lot of earthworms. I know when I go out into a tilled field with no cover crops, every once in a while you can find an earthworm. They're there, but not very many because they just don't have much to eat. If we use cover crops and some of those things, it's not uncommon to go out with a shovel and dig soil and find several earthworms. those are indicators that the little critters, the critters that we can't see, are doing well. And I know a lot of y'all out there have had issues with nematodes, and sometimes it's hard to get really serious about sampling and knowing what our nematode issues are when it's something that you can't see. And sometimes, you know, I think about the bacteria and the fungi in the soil. Those are things that we can't see. And so sometimes we wonder, are they really doing anything? What's the benefit? What's going on? You know, this is just another slide showing the good soil structure. You can see a lot of earthworms, earthworm channels. There's earthworm castings in there. Look at the roots. There's a really good home for earthworms there. And it all starts from the smaller critters to the larger ones. And how do we gauge what's going on with the things that we can't see, like the fungi and the bacteria? If we look at the next slide, there's a producer from Canada, Blake Vince. And he introduced me to Soil Your Undies. And you can get online, go to YouTube. He's got several YouTubes. I think there's others from that same region and across the states as this is getting more and more popular, to see exactly how you do that and what you do. But this goes back to a testing procedure, a cotton strip test. You place cotton material in the soil, leave it for a given amount of time, pull out. You can look at how much it's deteriorated. You can look at the loss of weight. Or you can do a pull test on it to see how much force it takes to break it. The easier it is to break or the more it's decomposed, the higher your fungi activity is. Fungi, that's what breaks up our corn stalks and our cotton stalks and a lot of that organic material, because that's primarily cellulose. If you look at cotton, cotton is cellulose. So the cotton kind of gives kind of a unique twist to the cotton strip test. But you see the image on the lower left, I buried, and the image on the lower right. The difference is the one on the left is in a no-till portion of the field where we used a cover crop, where we split a field in half. The other half of the field is where the farmer did his conventional tillage and did not use a cover crop. This is after 5 weeks. We did kind of late summer. You see the underwear on the right side where we did not use a cover crop. There's very few holes in there. It's basically just dirty underwear. The underwear on the left where we had a cover crop is really coming apart. It's getting paper thin. It's hard to keep it together. Some instances, I pulled those up out of the ground. The only thing that was still there was just the elastic. But this really gives you an indication of what the critters that you can't see, what they're doing in there and leading all the way to the earthworms. I think this is a good test and can really help you figure out what's going on. On the next slide, there's a lot of information on here, but I want to focus in on the blue line running across, and that's a watermark sensor at 6 inches. The other two lines have got a watermark sensor at 12 inches and at 18 inches. The bars, the blue bar, are irrigation events, and the other bar represents rainfall. The main thing that I want you to look at when we go across, most of the activity from, you know, we got the first big rainfall and our soil moisture sensors, the numbers went towards zero. And zero is a saturated condition. As it gets drier, the number, it's a soil suction number, so the higher the number, the drier the soil. But as we look, as we go across, and as we get into July, that really all of our activity is taking place in that top 6 inches. And when we have an irrigation event or a rainfall event, really the only sensor that we're impacting is the 6-inch sensor. It goes up and down, but the plant is primarily having to do all of its work in the top 6 inches. Now then, if I put the graph on the bottom of that to show that, that's from the same field that we cut in half. The one on the top is the side where the farmer did his conventional tillage and no cover crops. The graph on the bottom is the other half of the field where we did no-till with a cover crop. You see the rainfall events are still the same. Our irrigation event, the blue bar, we put out a lot more water than I thought we were going to. We intended to put out the same amount of water. Our actual water applied was a little over an inch is what went in the soil on the farmer standard side. Our effective irrigation was a little bit over 2 inches on the side with no-till. We had a lot more water infiltration. But look at, you know, with initial rainfall, our soil moisture sensors at all three depths went up. But then as we come across, as we get into early July, we see a separation between the 6, the 12, and the 18. And the thing that is most meaningful to me, the irrigation event, we saw a rise not only in the 6-inch sensor, but I saw a rise in the 12-inch sensor and the 18-inch sensor. And we see that carrying out through the year. And so what that tells me is that the plant is not just doing its work in the top 6 inches like it is up on top. I think we have an effective root system, not only just in the top 6 inches, but in the top foot and a half in this instance. And when we think about the difference between a 6-inch effective rooting zone and an 18-inch effective rooting zone, that's 3 times the amount of the rooting zone. And so when we look at irrigation timings or our university fertility recommendations, all those things are so much easier to predict and work so much easier when we have more than a 6-inch rooting zone. And so there's a lot of things that go on, and the water infiltration is just one thing. And that's what helps make the water on the earlier image we saw where we didn't have water standing and all that. Now, something that's really interesting about this, I've worked with farmers that say, well, how about if I grow a cover crop every other year, will that work? Well, the interesting story on this field was that this field had been in cover crop on both sides for about 3 years. And then this year was the first year that it was not in a cover crop. So it went through the fall and into the spring. And it just is coming out of the cover crop, we can just see the tremendous difference that it makes. So when I look at this data, it answers that question that no, having the cover crop every other year or every third year is not going to work. When we get into using a cover crop, it's something that we're going to need to do every year. If we look on to the next slide and look at what a healthy soil is, we see that a healthy soil has increased internal drainage. In cotton, that's really important because we grow cotton on a really tall bed, and the reason we grow cotton on a really tall bed is cotton doesn't like wet feet. We have to have good drainage. And when we have poor internal drainage, we have to have a lot of reliance on external drainage, so we have really tall beds. So in this situation, it looks like I think we can almost grow cotton on flat if we improve our internal drainage. And so it takes off the emphasis that we need to have on external drainage. There's a lot of different ways we can assess soil health. There's biological tests, chemical tests, and physical analysis. But just one of the things that we can look at as a producer, look at how our water infiltration is impacted, especially if we've split a field in half. Look at the runoff coming off the field. Are we losing soil? If we're losing soil, we're also losing nutrients as well. So improving soil health, I really think the first step is feeding the soil microbes, because the soil microbes are so important in what they do and the compounds they give off to leading to soil structure with compounds like the glue, also in the soil food chain, feeding all the organisms in there. That's our first step toward improving soil structure. And when we improve soil structure, I think it's going to make life a lot easier, not just for cotton, but for beans and corn and the other things that we grow too. Thank you.